Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's so wonderful to see you here this morning. My name is Tim Park. Excuse me. My name is Tim Park. I serve as our lead pastor, and if this is your first visit to our church, we're so glad you're here. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. Let's go before the Lord and invite him just into our midst as we respond to him in worship. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, goodness in every season. And in this season in particular, where we find ourselves. And we pray, God, that in the midst of this season and the busyness of it, God, that we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we would worship you, God, that we would be so in tune and attuned to your will for our lives in this season. We commit our time to you and your word. Father, would you speak to our hearts? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Hope for Renewed Strength. Hope for Renewed Strength. We're in week two of our series in the month of December. We're calling this series A Season of Hope. And last week, we began our series by defining hope. And we looked at two different kinds of hope. And we looked at, first of all, an earthly hope. And then secondly, an eternal hope. And earthly hope can be defined this way. An earthly hope is an optimistic desire that something may happen, but with no guarantee that it will. Contrast that with eternal hope. An eternal hope is a confident certainty that God will fulfill every promise he has made. Now remember, there's nothing wrong with earthly hope. That's just part of our everyday occurrences. We hope for things. There's nothing wrong with it. We just need to recognize the uncertainty of it. There's no guarantee with earthly hope. Eternal hope, on the other hand, is certain. And that's why we can trust God to fulfill all his promises. And that's also why hope and faith are inseparably connected. You see, both hope and faith rest on the promise and the character of a God who always keeps his word. And then last week, we talked about God's active silence. And we said that in seasons of silence, God strengthens our character. We also said that in seasons of silence, God protects us from what we can't see. And we also said that in seasons of silence, God orchestrates things beyond our understanding. And then last week, we talked about our proper response in seasons of silence. If God's silence is active, and it is, then the question becomes, how should we respond? Well, here's how we should respond. First of all, don't stop calling out to God. Don't stop praying. Don't even stop crying out to him. Don't stop calling out to God. Secondly, anchor yourself in what God has already spoken, and that's through his word. And then we said last week that we are to wait with anticipation, not resignation. If you're walking through a season of silence right now, please don't stop praying. Don't stop calling out to God. At the same time, anchor yourself, ground yourself in his word, because his word always speaks to us. And wait with anticipation. Some of you are in a season of silence. Others right now, you're in a season where you're just feeling overwhelmed because life is just so busy. You're tired, you're exhausted, you're worn out. Whether it's because of the silence or just because life is just moving so quickly. And life doesn't get any faster than in the month we're in right now. December is just busy. And all of us, we're carrying around responsibilities, huge responsibilities. We're navigating stress. Many are wrestling with grief. And many are just simply trying to keep up with life. And no matter what this year has held, the very fact that Nearly 365 days are already behind us. That fact alone takes its toll on us. The end of the year tends to leave people just worn out, completely spent. In part because the season becomes a season of doing. Let's face it, there's no shortage of things to do in this season, right? So for example, put this up, take that down, cook this, fix that, wrap those, return those. And so our holiday to-do list is relentless. Maybe some of you right now, you're feeling the weight of hosting. Yeah, I see a lot of nods. You're feeling the heavy weight of knowing that people are going to come to your house in the next week and a half. And that's a daunting task. Maybe you're stressed about finding the perfect gift or gifts. And maybe some of you are feeling obligated to attend every event and gathering on the calendar. It's overwhelming. Many of us need renewed strength just to make it through the holiday season. But beyond that, many need renewed strength because you need to get out of a rut. And for some, you're in an even darker season. And you need to find renewed strength. Thankfully, you and I know where to find that strength. In His Word. Our strength is found in the Lord. We see it through His Word. And today we want to let His Word speak into our crowded, busy lives because His Word, through His Word, we discover hope for renewed strength. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be in this passage for our entirety this morning. Isaiah 40. Now I want to read to you verses 28 to 31. I invite you to follow along. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28 begins this way. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So this morning, as we are right in the thick of this holiday season, I'd like to share with us several truths from this passage that will help us to find renewed strength in the midst of our exhaustion. Here's the first truth. God never gets tired. God never gets tired. Isaiah begins with a reminder, not a command. That's important. Isaiah begins with a reminder, and he asks two rhetorical questions. Don't you know? Have you not heard? And then he reminds them, God will not grow tired or weary. You know, the Israelites were exhausted. They were exhausted in the midst of their Babylonian exile. They had lost all hope. They were in despair. And the reality was many of them felt that God had forgotten them. And in the midst of their hopelessness, Isaiah reminded them that the God they worship never gets tired of carrying them through every season. If you've ever carried a sleeping child, okay, you know this one fact. They get heavier by the second. A sleeping child gets heavier by the second. Are you familiar with the term tennis elbow? Tennis elbow is this condition where the outer part of the elbow experiences pain. pain from overuse, a repetitive motion, like swinging a tennis racket, a pickleball paddle, even painting, even rolling your suitcase through a long airport terminal, and holding a baby. Here's what happens when you start holding a sleeping baby. And this is a good time for me to say, God bless all of our nursery crew here at our church. Aren't they the best? They're the best. And here's what happens when you hold a sleeping baby, right? They look really cute, very cute. But then after a while, your shoulders hurt. And then your neck hurts. And then you start sweating in your back. And you try not to wake them up. And then you find yourself thinking, this child cannot possibly weigh this much. And yet they do. It's amazing how heavy 10 pounds, 15 pounds can feel over time. Little babies, they weigh on us. That's why parents can't hold their kids forever and ever. Now, what about caring for an adult who can't care for themselves? What about carrying an adult who can't support their own weight? Maybe some of you have had to change a bed sheet under a loved one. Maybe due to injury, maybe health, or simply their stage in life. You know, even if you're strong, it is incredibly difficult to care for an adult who can't care for themselves. And over time, it takes its toll. Human beings, no matter how caring or compassionate, human beings can only carry someone else for a certain amount of time. We cannot carry them and care for them forever and ever. We are limited. But Isaiah reminds us that God is not. He never says to us, you know, the one thing that God will never say to me is, Tim, your burdens are too heavy for me. He'll never say that. Mike, your burdens are just too big for me. He'll never say that. Marcy, maybe just pace out your burdens and just come to me once every week or something. No. Instead, here's what God says. In Isaiah 46, in verses 3 and 4, he says this. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he, and I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. And what this means for us is that our burdens can never outweigh God's strength. They can never outweigh his strength. They're never too many. That's why Peter says in the New Testament, cast all your cares on him. Every single one of them. Throw them at him. Because he never gets tired. He cares for us, not just for minutes, not just for hours, not days, but through every season of life. Every single season, he cares for us. Last week, we learned that just because we don't see immediate results doesn't mean that God's not working. And that's why Isaiah says that God's understanding is unfathomable, unsearchable. No one can understand it. He knows more than we do. He sees more than we do. He understands more than you and I will ever understand. What wears us down will never wear God out. Which leads us directly to the second truth this morning. That's this. And I hope you find comfort in this. Fatigue is part of being human. If you're tired, you're human. Fatigue is part of being human. Everybody gets tired, and that's normal. Now, at times, if you're suffering from chronic fatigue, okay, that's not what we're talking about here. Please, that's important that you seek medical advice for that, for chronic fatigue. We're not talking about that here. What we're talking about here in this section is the reality that we cannot move at a rigorous pace forever and ever without any breaks. We were not designed that way. And with each passing year, we find ourselves slowing down and feeling the aches and pains of every passing year more and more, right? If you're at a certain age in life, your conversations usually center around body parts. My shoulder. Oh, that frozen shoulder of mine. Or my knee. My back. My hip. And so if you were in conversations with those who are moving on in life, yes, the reality is we start to slow down and every body part aches. And it takes us longer to warm up for an activity and to recover from that activity. When you're younger, right, you can just roll out of bed, put on those shoes, and just go. No warming up, no cooling down. And yet, even the strongest amongst us have limits. Even the young grow weary and tired, Isaiah tells us. No one is immune to fatigue. And we're not talking only about physical fatigue here. You see, Isaiah was talking about something far beyond just the physical fatigue. He was talking about the emotional, mental, and yes, even the spiritual fatigue that we often feel. You know, sometimes Christians feel guilty for being exhausted, as if fatigue is a lack of faith. I just got to go. I just got to get it done. People are relying on me. So sometimes Christians feel guilty because they think exhaustion is a lack of their faith. And yet, here's what Scripture says. Elijah, he collapsed under a broom tree, which is this huge shrub. He collapsed because he was overwhelmed with feelings of failure and insecurity. He had death threats on his life. And so he just collapsed, overwhelmed. Moses begged God for help. Moses said, God, I cannot carry these people all by myself. They're too heavy for me. David wrote Psalms out of sheer exhaustion. You know, Jeremiah, the prophet, he wept over the weight of his ministry. So just imagine every night Jeremiah went back to his home, locked himself in his room, and he just wept because of the weight of ministry. Paul said that he was pressed beyond measure. Even Jesus, in all his humanity, he grew tired of ministering to people. He had to make room for rest. Exhaustion is a human reality. Exhaustion does not mean that we're weak. In fact, we'll say this. Exhaustion can be a spiritual invitation. So if you're exhausted right now, consider that God's invitation to you. Our tiredness can sometimes reveal that we've been carrying too much and too much by ourselves, that we've been relying on our own strength. Exhaustion invites us into rest, not guilt. And God is ready to meet us in our exhaustion. And that brings us to our third truth this morning. That's this: God gives strength when we need it most. God gives strength. He gives us strength when we need it most. You know, Isaiah doesn't say that God strengthens the already strong. Isaiah doesn't say that God pours power into those who are self-reliant. And Isaiah doesn't say that God reserves strength for those who have everything under control. No. God gives strength to the tired, the weary, the faint. If you've ever felt faint, you know how unsettling that experience is. And so it's a very vivid picture. What happens is you get dizzy, lightheaded, your body goes weak, and your legs give out. And when somebody faints, they literally collapse because of complete helplessness. And that's when God does his best strengthening work. You see, God doesn't strengthen people who are just tired. He strengthens people who are empty. God's best strengthening work is not in tired people, but in empty people. He strengthens us when we have nothing left in the tank. And this means that we don't have to keep just trying to stand upright as if we're saying, God, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try harder. I'll stand on my feet and just come and help me. As followers of Christ, we don't have to try harder or do more. You see, because God specializes in filling what's empty. In fact, that's how grace works. Let's think about this. That's exactly how grace works. Grace does not start when we have something to bring. Grace starts when we have nothing to offer. And maybe you've experienced a season where life overwhelmed you. And maybe you're in that season right now. A family crisis, maybe financial hardship, a diagnosis. Maybe you're feeling anxious, discouraged, depressed. And maybe in that moment, you're coming to the realization, I'm desperately in need of God. You know, some go through this feeling of guilt. And here's how it happens. Some say, you know, I haven't prayed in months. I haven't gone to church in years. Maybe I ought to go to church now. But then wait a minute. If I go to church after all these years, then will God think that I'm only turning back to him because I'm desperate? What will he think of me? What will the people think of me? And, you know, sometimes the reality is church people can respond cynically in those situations. They might see somebody come to church who hasn't been to church in years. And they might think to themselves, oh, they're only here because they're desperate. Want to know the truth? Here's the gospel truth. That's exactly when God's grace does its best work. God will not reject those who come empty-handed. He's ready to give us strength when we need it most. Which brings us to our fourth and final truth, and that's this. Strength is renewed by waiting, not by worrying. Isaiah ends this passage with a powerful contrast. Strength is renewed not by trying to do more, not by trying harder, not by panicking or worrying, but by waiting. Verse 31 says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That's in the New International Version. In the English Standard Version, it reads this way, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Hoping and waiting are closely connected. In fact, they are synonymous in this verse. Hoping, whether it's hoping for something in this lifetime or hoping for eternity always involves waiting. Hoping always involves waiting, and guess what? The wait is always worth it. And a major part of waiting on God is this one act. This is our takeaway for today. A major part of waiting on God is this one act, this singular act, and that's this: surrendering our timeline to God. Surrendering our timeline to God. And that does not come naturally, especially in a culture where everything is driven by goals and deadlines and expectations. There are those who feel the pressure to graduate by a certain age, launch a career by a certain age, get married and start a family by a certain age. And all these expectations do, they stir up anxiety and unnecessary worry. And when we start worrying, here's what tends to happen. When we start worrying, and when we hold on to our timeline, the temptation is to do this, to force results, to rush decisions, and maybe even take shortcuts. And those often lead to regret. Again, when we worry and when we cling to our own timeline, we tend to force results, rush decisions, and perhaps even take shortcuts. Waiting on the Lord requires surrendering our timeline to Him. And that is always the starting point. And by the way, this surrender, it doesn't apply only to our own personal lives and to the goals that we set for ourselves. But this surrendering of our timeline, it also shapes how we view the world around us. What we think things and how we think things should unfold, how we believe others should act, and how quickly we expect things to happen. You see, surrendering our timeline to God, on the one hand, it doesn't mean that we just passively sit and do nothing, right? We don't sit on our hands and do nothing. Waiting is meant to be active. But here's how waiting looks for the follower of Christ. Waiting looks this way. It's staying faithful to God's word, remaining prayerful in every season, staying connected to the body of Christ, and loving the people around us well. That is what active waiting looks like. There's so much in our lives and in our world that we just simply cannot control. And filling our minds with the news of the day and all night isn't going to help our stress level. Did you know that consuming too much news, especially negative news or distressing news, you know what it does? It triggers this one thing. It triggers cortisol. You know what cortisol is? It's our stress hormone. And elevated stress levels, cortisol levels, leads to this: anxiety, depression, sleep problems, digestive problems, just to name a few. And what happens is this causes a fight or flight response. And this creates this constant state of feeling overwhelmed. And so we think about the world around us and the broken world around us. And we end up feeling overwhelmed. Are you familiar with the term doom scrolling? You know what doom scrolling is? Well, doom scrolling is this compulsive habit of continually consuming negative news, especially on social media. So if you ever hear the term doom scrolling, it's this continual, habitual habit of just consuming negative news. And by now, we all know how algorithms work, don't we? You know how algorithms work? You watch one thing on your phone, and the algorithms say, oh, I'm going to feed that person this one and this one. And it all comes from the same perspective. It sends us into a deep, vicious cycle. So my question this morning is, how do we hold on to hope for renewed strength in a world that feels so far from being whole? And it is. How do we hold on to hope for renewed strength in a world that feels broken? Well, one, we don't ignore the reality of what's going on around us. At the same time, we must be wise about how much we even expose ourselves to. I find it helpful in my life to not scroll through distressing headlines just before I go to sleep. It's not helpful at all. If you're going to get your news, get it earlier in the day. So where does renewed strength come from in a broken world? Again, stay faithful to his word, remain prayerful in every season, stay connected to the body of Christ, and love the people around us well. And when the news leaves us feeling helpless and hopeless, one of the most powerful responses is to do this. When you're consuming news and you feel so discouraged by the world around you, one of the most powerful responses is to step out and love the people right in front of us. Love the people right in front of us. So if you're feeling tired in this season, if you're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed because of the busyness of the season or because of the brokenness of our world, my prayer is that God's word will speak to us in a bold, clear way. God never gets tired. Never. And yes, fatigue is part of being human. And God gives us strength just when we need it most. And strength is renewed by waiting, but it's never a passive waiting. So this week, my encouragement is this. Between now and next Sunday, let's remain faithful to his word, prayerful in every season. Let's stay connected to one another. And then this week, if you could do this, I'd like you to think of one person right now that you can love well this week. Between now and next Sunday, until we come back, think of just one person you can love tangibly, that you can love well. And I trust that as we love that person well this week, God will renew our strength. He will bring us back to where we need to be. Would you bow with me? Father, I'm so thankful for the book of Isaiah and for his exhortation to your people. And it's a reminder for us today. Do we not know? Have we not heard? We worship a God who never grows tired. And we confess to you that we are tired. We're exhausted in this season. We're exhausted because of the busyness around us. We're exhausted because of the brokenness around us. But we also know that you will give the strength that we need when we need it most. And for some, we need it most right now, God. And I pray, God, that in the waiting, that we would do so actively. God, that we would wait upon you. And that we would love well in the waiting. So, Father, we thank you for the encouragement we find in your word. Father, would you go with us in this week ahead? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.